The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by Pope Family Dental. Your family dentist around the corner at Centennial Beach on Jackson Avenue in downtown Naperville. Pope Family Dental has been providing dental dentistry for 15 years and accepts most dental insurances. Pope Family Dental is veteran-owned and veteran-friendly, and this November, they're celebrating Veterans Day all month with a 20% discount to those veterans without dental insurance. That's Pope Family Dental. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Now through November 23rd, help DuPage Credit Union feed our hungry neighbors when you donate food items at any one of their convenient branch offices. Groceries collected during the community food drive will be donated to the Northern Illinois Food Bank and used to help support local shelters, soup kitchens, and other charitable organizations. Stop by a branch office or visit DuPageCU.com for a list of items needed. That's DuPageCU.com. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also proudly sponsored by J.W. Rule Landscape Services. Let J.W. Rule Landscape Services serve you by creating and building a landscape that fits your house style and your lifestyle. Jim and his team use their years of experience, knowledge of plants, and formal training to complete your desired outcome. Whether it's a large project or, my favorite, a fairy garden, you will notice the difference. Wow, that got all funny. I need to pre-record these little commercials. Moving along, the Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Belgio's Catering. They put the special in special events. Stiefel Nicholas, helping people manage their money and investments for over 100 years. Fast Signs Naperville, Sullivan's Steakhouse in downtown Naperville, featuring delicious mouth-watering steaks and tasty sides along with the Dolly-tini. Body Bronze, Sunless Spa of Naperville, the only way to tan. Body Bronze is thankful for you during this month of November. As their thanks to you, enjoy a $25 full body original bronzing session, and $35 will give you a full body quick spray session now through Monday, November 18th. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's Monday, November 18th through Wednesday, November 27th. All right. The Dolly McCarthy Show is also sponsored by Naper Settlement. Mad Landscaping, let them take care of all your fall cleanup. Arthur Murray Dance Studio in Naperville and now in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. And the Naperville Trolley and Tours. Hop aboard beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, holiday lights tours, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley.
I feel good. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice.
It's the Dolly McCarthy Show. It's the Dolly.
I love my Aunt Dolly.
I love you too, Jakey. Hey, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio, the good show, I like to call it, that airs every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10:30. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. Thanks for tuning in to the good show, everybody, where every week, you know, I bring you good topics to discuss, good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. Lots of good guests on the show today, and we'll get to all of them in just a moment. But first, you know, this is the Dolly McCarthy Show, the good show on Internet Radio, and indeed it is a good show. I love to hear all the good things that are happening in your life. We definitely want to hear from you. We do have some giveaways today. We've got a sunless spray tan from Body Bronze in Naperville. You heard me just promote their specials this month, but you now have a chance to win your own personal spray tan. So you also have a chance to win some Dolly McCarthy Show mugs. Who wouldn't want a mug? All right, tastes better. Coffee tastes much better in those mugs. So what I want you to do is post a message on my Facebook page, and I will randomly pick, or actually Beth will randomly pick a winner, and we will send you a mug or meet you somewhere and give you that mug, or you can meet me for coffee and we'll have a mug. We'll do a mug exchange. We also have those spray tans to give away too, so post something on Facebook about the show, what you liked about the show, and we will pick a random winner for sure. Well, we do have a lot of good guests today. We have Sergeant Jack Schiffler coming on, State Rep Tom Cross, Rodrigo Leonis from St. Jude's, and, of course, every week we have our Good Inspirations contributor, Michelle Lynn Gust. She'll be calling us from Hawaii. She's out there surfboarding. Way to go, Michelle. What a woman. Anyway, please do post something on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. I want to just make some friendly reminder announcements about some things that are happening this weekend, some great causes. The 5th annual rally for Ryan, it's a rally against Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and they're shooting for a cure. It's they've got a Black Hawk theme going on there. This is the 5th annual gala event, and there's a wonderful raffle, too, that you can purchase tickets for and win one of two sets of 10 skybox seats to a Blackhawks game. Food and drink and a limo is included with that. And I personally, I'm running around town, Naperville anyway, selling these raffle tickets. And if you want one, I'd be happy to visit you at your office or place of business or home or whatever it be, Starbucks, wherever you want to meet, and get you a raffle ticket. It's only $60, two for $100, and you have a chance to go to the Blackhawks game. That event, Rally for Ryan, is this Saturday. There's still tickets available. I know they've sold at least 300 by now. So there still is room. It's over at the White Eagle Golf Club, and I'm so very honored to be emceeing this event again. This is my 5th year doing it. And alongside me is the famous auctioneer, Joel Langer. So I'm really excited to see Joel again. We always have a great time with that. And there's always some sports celebrities there. Last year there was Bill Cartwright. I'm pretty sure this year it's Alex Brown, but it's not been confirmed, but these guys never confirm. But I, you know, he's probably going to be there. Take my word for it. And if he's not, then I owe you a mug. Okay, how about that? But I'm pretty sure Alex Brown from the Chicago Bears will be there. And I think Bill Cartwright's coming back. So here's your chance to get a chance to meet these wonderful, what do you call them? Wonderful ball players? What do you say? So come on out to the rally. It's going to be a good time. All right. And another reminder, we have all these events coming up. We're so excited to be a part of all of these events. Here we go. Tri-City Family Services is having the Snowflake Shuffle, and that is December 7th. That's in Geneva. And that is a benefit for Tri-City Family Services. And they do amazing things to help children, teens that are developmentally disabled. And that will be December 7th at 9 a.m. That's a 5K walk, run. I don't run. I'll be power walking. And I'd love to see you there. Beth and I will be there with our families doing a little power walking. Beth, are you going to run or are you going to be power walking?
Power walking.
Okay, she's going to be power walking. Sorry. I was going to say, you could take on the running and I'll do the power walking group.
On soccer field, I don't run.
Oh, Beth. So we're going to be power walking. Come power walk with me and Beth. It's the Snowflake Shuffle. I hope there's a ton of snow on the ground at that time. That would be a blast, wouldn't it? So come and join us. That is December 7th, 9 a.m. You can register online. Where's the registration? Oh, www.tricityfamilieservices.org. It's only $25, $15 for children and teens, $10 for the youth mile, and free for children, 5 and under. So sign up. It's going to be a blast. Santa Claus is going to be there. And you know what? You can bring your walkers, your runners, your strollers. Bring your school. Your schools can do it, families, companies. It's a great cause, guys. So I hope you all will come out. I guess I get to fire this shot. What do they call that? The opening shot, the race shot, the shotgun? Am I firing a real shotgun?
I don't know.
Beth doesn't know. She just works here. You're cracking me up. I get to say, on your marks, get set, go. And then we'll all go power walking. And then we're giving out awards to the fastest runners and the slowest runners, the last place finishers. The mayor of Geneva, right, will be there? So he and I will be giving out the awards.
Mayor Burns.
Pardon me?
Mayor Burns.
Mayor Burns. That's what Beth says. Mayor Burns. Isn't it Tim Burns over there in Geneva? Shout out to Tim Burns, mayor of Geneva. All right. Enough of that. We hope you guys will be joining us for those events. Lots of good causes. And, you know, Monday was Veterans Day, and last week we had a great Veterans Day show, and we had lots of groups on to talk about what these groups are doing to support our veterans, and that's a cause near and dear to my heart. And speaking of near and dear to my heart, we have on the line someone who I just love to death, Sergeant Jack Schiffler. Hey, Jack, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. You sound great.
Good.
Let me just tell everybody,
good.
Jack was going to be on the show last week, and I don't remember what happened, but we missed you, and then we rescheduled for this week, and we had quite a weekend, didn't we, Jack? Jack was running the Marine Corps birthday bash, the gala on Sunday night, and we had a great time. I was his date. I was so honored to be there with you, Jack. It was such a lovely evening.
It was fun. It was very much fun.
And you did a great job putting it all together, but can I tell everybody what happened? Do you mind?
Please do.
Well, Jack, you know, Jack, you never say no, and you know what? It's because you never stop. When it comes to our veterans and the military and those serving our country, you put so much effort and love and service into that. And, Jack, he was short of breath. You were short of breath on Sunday. You weren't feeling well, but you would have never known. You're running around that banquet room making all the announcements and big smile on your face, and no one would have ever known you were not feeling well. And then the next day you checked into Hines VA Hospital in Maywood over there, and you're still there. How are you doing today?
That's where I'm at. It's a little better. We've got some things solved, and it's just I had some buildup in my lungs and that kind of stuff, and it just, I couldn't eat, and I just ran out of gas. But the other night, it's just, it's something very special to all of us Marines, and a lot of Napervillians were there. And it's just something that, I guess the saying, once a Marine, always Marines, is true.
Well, it was a beautiful showing, for sure. There were, 500 people there? And at one point in the evening, everyone had a candle in their hand. Jeff, can you tell us the significance of that? I posted a picture of this. Everyone in the room had these beautiful candles, and the room was just beautiful. It was glowing.
Yeah, what we do is it's an invitation, and we do this, try to start this for dinner. And we have the Navy Men's Glee Club, Naperville Men's Glee Club, are singing, and we go through, and the fun part of being part of the Naperville Marines is my good friend George Fradel, the Naperville mayor, is also the chaplain for Naperville Marines. So the Glee Club gets up and sings a little, a few bars, and then the mayor starts with his blessing and his invocation as chaplain of the Naperville Marines. And then the Glee Club ends with the Navy hymn, and we play taps at the end of that. So it's just a tradition we started. It goes on, you know, a lot throughout the Marine Corps, but I don't think they always have a mayor that is your chaplain. So,
No. And, you know, I want to just let everybody know who's listening who's not familiar with you, Jack. We belovedly call you Sergeant Goofy, because you are hilarious.
Yeah.
We always have a great time with you, but I know you're feeling a little under the weather, and I so appreciate you being on the show. You're in the hospital, but thank goodness you're doing better. You're on the mend, and look at you calling into the show from the hospital. But I knew you would never say no or not quit and not want to call, because this is something that, you know, for people that are listening or not familiar with Sergeant Schiffler, he enlisted in the Marine Corps in 1965, and at 21, you were in Vietnam.
Yes. I turned 21 right before I got to Vietnam, and I essentially was the old man. My nickname over there was Pappy, because a lot of the guys were 17, 18, 19 years old, and it just was a great experience.
I'm betting. I'm sure lots of memories there. And we really, really, on this Veterans Day week, and as we do all year round, though, Jack, but especially this week, we want to thank you for your service and all you've done for our country.
Well,
I admire you, tremendously. I got to know you about 6 years ago. Jack does the Memorial Day parades. He leads them. He was the commander of the post at the VFW Hall at the Judge Kendall for many years.
Was that the year I had to grab the microphone from you? Was that another year?
We're always hugging
the
microphone.
Remember we had that storm come in?
Yes. Huge storm came in.
We had to get everybody off the streets.
You said we have 30 seconds, folks, to start running because we're going to get we're going to get hit with this downpour. It came out of nowhere. It was a beautiful. It started out as a beautiful day. Would have never known it. And then,
yeah, it did.
And I was just starting to talk about you and the Memorial Day, the memorial ceremony, the laying of the wreath and whatnot. And then you had to interrupt me and say, "Everybody, run! There comes the storm."
Well, it's just
and
the
I said, "I got to meet that man."
Yeah, police chief came running up to me and said, "Get him out of here because it's going to bomb." And it did. It really was a bad storm. The fun part of the thing was the Naperville Municipal Band is our leading band, and the band leader decided he couldn't find anywhere to take the band, so he marched them up 2 blocks up the street to our band shell. He's kind of like a DI in the military.
It was a sight to see, especially the big tuba players walking by with the tubas, and they were just filled with water.
Unbelievable.
What a memory. We'll never forget the year you and I met. And it was love at first sight. I love you. Love you to death, Jack. And I admire you tremendously for all that you've done. And now you are the, what do they call it over there? The officer of the day at the VFW Hall, right? Is that
I'm officer of the day in the Americanism.
Mm-hmm.
The
Americanism.
I was past commander. Yeah, I'm past commander of VFW in 93 through 95, and of course, you know, we try and change leadership, so you get interviews and that, and after I got out of that, I just, I love the place so much now that I got to keep going, I got to keep doing this stuff. It's so important, and kind of a segue from that is the Vietnam veterans now especially feel very important that we let these kids know we're here to support them. We want them to join the post in that. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, they cannot really get involved because they're young and getting educated or getting married and having kids, and it doesn't permit. But we want to know that they are truly appreciated for their service. It's something that I think we as a people and a nation can never allow happen what happened in Vietnam. We were military, and we were sent to do a job. It's military is a dictatorship. You don't have a choice. And whether you agree with the war or do not agree with the war, do not ever, ever turn on the military people. They don't have a choice. And that's one thing we want to correct. Not to whine about what we happened coming home and that kind of stuff. And of course, the nation was in a political turmoil anyways. But the fact is the people that are serving our country should never be pushed like that to the edge. It's wrong. And that's why today you see so much going on to honor the troops that are serving. And, you know, if we as a public don't like it, then get to your congressmen and your senators and convince them. Because by, you know, going up against it, and I was spit in the face out in California when I came home, and, I mean, it didn't do any good other than aggravate me, but still it was wrong. And it wasn't my fault I was in Vietnam.
Yeah,
I want to be in Vietnam? Not particularly, but that's when I signed the line, and I was in the military. It's, you do what they tell you to do. So I'm trying not to get on a soapbox here, but it's one thing that's very emotional for me that the military is serving the country, and the people don't need to turn on them. It isn't going to do any good. Okay, I'm going to off my soapbox for a bit.
No. Jack, you make such an important point, and I think, I want to ask your opinion on this. Do you think that our country has come around and finally that will never happen again, what happened to our Vietnam veterans.
And absolutely, I do. I think, and it was so funny, when I started to get involved in this stuff, even some of the people at my post, the VFW post, didn't want us around. So we started our own organization, and it's a national organization, really large, called Vietnow. And we got together because we're like-minded people and felt the same way and thought if people are going to object for us being around other military organizations and that, we'll start our own. So we did, and one thing led to another. And it's funny, as we started coming out of our closets about what went on and why and whatever, it's happening all over the United States. And it's, you know, like I said before, if nothing else put us together, it was the fact that it's so wrong for the public to turn against the military people, because it isn't their fault for anything. So it's it just helped bring me out of a closet. I wouldn't speak about anything in the war for 17 years because it seemed like if we did, you'd get an argument and somebody would tell you you're stupid and, you know, it wasn't worth it, so we just went into our shell, and then all of a sudden, I guess it was time for us to come out, and it's been nice, the reception we received now, and I was part of the organizing committee for the 1986 Welcome Home Parade in Chicago, and I was totally amazed at just the amount of people that had come out. We started out, and we were hoping to beat New York's a record of some 30,000 vets show up. And by the time the parade started that morning, Harold Washington had to call the mayor of Chicago, had to call the airport and get a couple of our Medal of Honor recipients and that there so we could start early, because the entire old shell of Navy Pier was full of people. And we ended up with almost a quarter of a million vets come in. Now, I didn't just say because Chicago was the greatest parade in the world, but I think it was. But it just was our time to say, people, we still love you as the country loves us back. So it's quite a day.
Oh, wow. When you look back, it was a very hurtful time for you. How are you, have you made peace with that? Have you felt like people, the country has done enough to kind of heal those wounds and make good?
I do. I very much do, and it's almost like we as a nation were duped in this stupidity. We just weren't thinking. I did for a lot of years if somebody said that they were a protester, oh, I was mad. But, again, it wasn't their fault. They were misfed on the information coming out of Vietnam, it just... to see them, and you know, I've had we in my vets organization, we did for about 5-7 years. We did a lot of street functions like Neighbor Fest and Downers Fest and that kind of stuff. And we have a booth out there, and it's amazing how many people would come up and they'd hug you and say, "I'm sorry, I protested." And I, okay, all right. Well, it was hard to accept at first because it hurt so much back, you know, when we got home. But it started to show the healing process that went on in this nation. And the greatest thing that ever happened was when the Vietnam Memorial Wall was built in Washington, D.C. And it was funny because a lot of us helped with that, and we spent a lot of money down there because we felt there was something to be said. And now if people look it up, it's one of the most visited memorials in Washington.
It is.
Outside of World War II one. Mm-hmm. It should have been done a long time ago. But it just is it's a healing place for us. And it's a place to, I really feel the nation says we do care. And that started to come back for all of us. So it's just been a heck of a trip.
Yeah. And we do. And we certainly do. And Jack, you are a hero. You are my hero. I just adore you, and I can't thank you enough for all that you've done and your sacrifices. And I know you also, you know, you don't shy away from telling people what you what you suffered from after the war. You
suffer
from
PTSD. Yeah.
And how?
And it's not
how are you coping with that now?
There's, I've got a handle on things now. There's a lot of our young men and women coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and that are trying to deal with it. And part of the disease is the fact that you want to hide it. And that's the worst thing in the world you can do is you talk to somebody. I mean, there's groups, there's medical groups. Talk it and get it out. In my particular case, I just felt so weird. I just thought, when you're in a war, you got to do things you don't want to do. You got to see things you don't want to see. You make friends and you lose them in the morning. It's just hard to deal with because as a man and a Marine, I felt I had to keep this inside. And it's, you know, I just was kind of part of the reason they call me Sergeant Goofy because I'm nuts. And that's the way to cope. And it just took a lot of years, and we finally worked out through this Vietnam. We started having counseling sessions with the people from the Heinz Veterans Hospital. And we just found out a lot of things about each other and about PTSD that it isn't a person's fault. They're not immature. They're not a baby. They're not stupid. They're not goofy. It's just the trauma that you get from being in combat.
Right.
Same type of thing can happen from, say, you lose a close relative or you're in a plane crash or something, you live through it. But it's how the body accepts the trauma and what it does to you. And for a lot of us laymen and the doctors and that, it's very confusing and very frightening. But there are ways to handle it. There are people that understand what you've gone through and they can work you through it if you talk it out. If you hold it in, then you get big problems.
Yeah.
So it's a lesson to learn. It's a lesson to be there for someone that's had a trauma, to help them and just listen. They want to talk it out. And a lot of our feelings were when we came home, well, you weren't there, so shut your mouth. You don't know what I'm talking about. But that's not so true because he's done a lot of work in this now, and it's a curable disease, and it's just a matter of talking it out. The start of my cure was being in a rep group, in a vet group, and we sit down and talk it out, and you can't believe how much it helps. I want to talk about this, or I did that, or I saw this. And your doctors will tell you there is a way, and they do a lot of that now since I think we started it, was the counseling groups where you get down with 8, 9, 10 people experience the same thing you did, and they can tell you what you're feeling. Because it's some of the feelings you have with it is you're embarrassed. I shouldn't feel that way. You know, I'm goofy.
Yeah.
So it's a learning lesson, but to people that are listening to you, that if you have somebody that has suffering or a bit of trauma or PTSD, get them to talk to a group. Get them to talk to somebody. Just talk it out. And even if you were to say to them, well, I wasn't there and I don't know what you're talking about, but talk to me. And it's amazing once you release this, what a feeling it is. It's hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
I'm on my soapbox again, aren't I?
No. Sergeant Schiffler, thanks for your efforts, really. And to all these, we had a few veteran groups on last week, one in particular, Active Heroes. Are you familiar with the president and founder, Troy Yoakum?
Right.
Maybe not. There's so many groups, you know. But
yeah.
he has, like yourself, worked tirelessly to get the word out about PTSD. And try to get, you know, make people aware of this and reassure the military, active military and veterans that this is okay, this happens,
yes.
And we have treatment for you. And please don't be afraid to do it. It's so really just talking it up, and that's what you've been doing. And you've really put yourself out there really out there. And because of you, so many people, I think a lot of lives have been saved. I mean, there are, but the reality is, the reality is, you know, we talked about this last week on the show, 22 suicides a day from our military veterans, and that's way too many. So
and it's,
putting
you know,
yourself out there like you do, you're a hero to people.
That's why we do what we do, and you've got to, because they are brothers and sisters in arms, and I don't care if they're 10 years or 19 years old or 70 years old. We're still brothers in arms, and we've got to help each other through this stuff, and that's what you do more anyways. Mm-hmm. You protect your front side and your back side, and that's essentially what we're doing now. And like I say, that if you have someone that is suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, talk to them, get them to see somebody, and it isn't the end of the world. The suicide is, it's the most irrational thing in the world to explain, but it isn't the end of the world. Talk to people before you even feel like you want to doing that, because you were put on this earth for a reason, and the reason is not to take your life, because it isn't going to do any good to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just take care of yourself and talk to people, find people to talk to before you really go over the edge, because that's not good for anything.
Absolutely. Well, that's good advice from you. Hey, how are they treating you over at the VA hospital over there, at Hines VA hospital? It's a nice place.
They're so wonderful.
I was so glad I got to come visit you yesterday.
I'm glad
very
you did,
nice.
Too.
You looked comfortable. You looked way better. The last time
better.
I saw you,
you
looked like you were feeling better. And now, couple more things, and I'm gonna let you go because I know you got to rest. Okay. You've been talking a long time.
Yeah, I do.
Coming up at the VFW Hall, the Judd Kendall VFW Hall, is the turkey raffle.
Yeah, that's the 23rd, I think. Yeah, the Saturday before Thanksgiving.
Saturday before Thanksgiving, open to the public, right? 6 o'clock.
Yes, start 6 o'clock, and we will be selling probably 175 turkeys, 15 to 25 prime ribs, sausages, cheese. We got a lot of stuff.
Wow. That's always a good time. I went last year, had a great time, so I just want to let all of the listeners out there know about this turkey raffle at the Naperville Judd Kendall VFW Hall, and that's Saturday, September, November.
Yeah.
What's that, Jack?
908 West Jackson Avenue.
That's
in
right.
Naperville.
And it's not September, not December. Listen to me. I get my months mixed up. It's November. It's November.
November
23rd. I can't believe this, Jack. And you are a blessing. I'm so glad that you're on the mend. And thank you for calling into the show. And
you, my friend.
Jack, can't thank you enough for everything you've done.
Right.
And for being
a
great friend to me.
Okay,
I love
you. Talk to you soon. All right, take
care,
babe.
See you at the turkey raffle. Get some rest. Okay.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Gotta love that man. Jack Schiffler, Sergeant Jack Schiffler. All right, we are moving on. Did you know that this month is Diabetes Awareness Month? It is. My father passed away way too soon because of complications from diabetes. And today is actually Diabetes Awareness Day. You think you know everything you need to know about diabetes, right? Well, think again. We have an expert on the line. You all might know him. I think you do. He's been a state rep in Illinois for about 20 years now. State Rep Tom Cross is on the line. Hi, Tom. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for calling into the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Wonderful. Well, Tom, thank you for all you're doing to bring diabetes to the forefront here in the state of Illinois, getting involved the way it is. Tell us what you have done. I know you've created the first ever Diabetes Awareness Day, thanks to you. Thank you for that.
Well, yeah, and you know, there are two types of diabetes. There's type 1 diabetes, which is also known as juvenile diabetes, and unfortunately, there's a lot more of that than we'd like to see in this state, in this country. And one of the reasons I've been involved in it is our daughter, who's 20 and is actually a junior at North Central, where she wants to be. She's studying to be a teacher and is on a tennis team, but she was diagnosed when she was age 6. But the other thing is type 2, and we often associate with type 2 with folks as they got a little older, would have challenges associated with type 2, but unfortunately, we're seeing more and more cases of type 2 with young people and as well as old. Now, type 1, your pancreas just completely shuts down and there's nothing, your body does not produce insulin, and you'll see people give themselves shots, so they'll be on what's called the insulin pump. Type 2 can be regulated from you know, pills to some form of insulin to even, you know, they talk about exercise, but we are seeing a growing number of people with type 2 diabetes in this state, in this country, and one, it's not good for them, it's not good for us as a state because of the huge medical costs associated with diabetes. So we did
That's right.
Awareness Day, and it was your question, and we actually, the governor signed the bill at down in Plainfield at Edward, and we want to give Governor Quinn a lot of credit for recognizing the problem and also coming out to sign the bill. And we're excited about it. Today is the second anniversary of the Diabetes Awareness Day in Illinois, and we want to create awareness about it so people get checked to see if they have type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, a lot of people are walking around. They don't even know they have it. So this is a great day to have you get a blood check, right? It's a simple blood check? Or
it's
urine
a simple
test.
Blood check.
Okay.
Yeah, it's so easy with blood, and you can do it. You can do it at. We're doing it at the administration building in Oswego today on Route 71, and then on Saturday we're going to be at Edwards Hospital down in Plainfield, and they're going to check. And so you really ought to check. There are people that either have it or they're kind of trending that way, and if they can, you know, take care of themselves a little better, they can hopefully prevent that type 2 from developing. Type 1 is a whole different story, but the type 2 is where we're seeing huge numbers, and it's very, very scary.
It certainly is. Now, we're talking right now with State Rep Tom Cross, and Tom, we thank you for your service over 20 years down in Springfield for us. Wow, that's quite a job you've had for 20 years, Tom. And you had served for many years on the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation Board of Directors.
I have.
In all those years, what have we made any progress? What have we made better for people with diabetes? Have we made it easier to diagnose, recognize? How about
we've seen? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Have we gone closer to a cure?
You've got the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and while I'm on the board, I don't at all to accept any credit for all their success. There's so many great people. There are so many volunteers. You know, one of the things that JDRF is known for are the walks that we do every year. There was one in Naperville for a number of years, and then it was transferred over to Lyle because it got so big. But Ron Sano was a big force behind the diabetes walks. They were every fall. And the JDRF does a great job of utilizing the bulk of their money for research. So there is movement toward a cure, but it's also how to handle it on a regular basis. We have insulin pumps. We have the idea of we've got these monitors you can wear on a regular basis to tell you what kind of on an ongoing basis what your blood sugar is. And, you know, they're real close to perfecting what they call an artificial pancreas, where, you know, the combination of the pump and the monitor, because if you can keep your blood regulated, you can minimize problems down the road so many things we hear associated with diabetes. But JDRF is a fantastic organization. Ron Sano was the hero for a lot of us, not just because of his baseball ability, but what he did for JDRF.
Absolutely. And this year, Tom, you worked to create the Diabetes Awareness License Plate. So funds from the plate sales are going to go to diabetes research. How can you sign up to get one of those license plates?
You know, you can go to the Secretary of State's office. You can go to my website is just tomcross.com, and we can get you signed up. Unfortunately, we can't get that plate made by the Secretary of State until 1,500 people sign up. So we've got a long ways to go. So if you're concerned about type 1 or type 2, or you want, you know, what you're doing for your license plate, of course you have to go to research. It's a great way to do that. So if you just go to our website, we have some information on it. If that doesn't work, you can always call my office, 815-254-0000, and we'll get you to the right place. But I think it's an exciting thing. One of the things we've done in Illinois is we created an Illinois Diabetes Caucus, and it's made up of Republicans and Democrats, folks from upstate, downstate, Chicago, and we're trying to do what we can to combat this awful, awful disease of diabetes, and this came out of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, you mentioned your daughter had type 1 diabetes.
Yep.
Your daughter's at Reynolds?
You're
she's
right.
At North
Reynolds,
Central?
She's at North Central.
She's at North
she's
Central College?
Junior. Yep.
All right, a Cardinal.
She's
a junior.
Cardinal and loves North Central.
Well, what is it like for her living with this every day, a young woman living alone, and does she have to prick her finger, check her blood every day? What's it like living with this disease?
It is, you know, there are a lot of people with a lot of things they have to deal with on a daily basis, but and some worse, some not as bad, but you do have to check your blood on a regular basis. She wears an insulin pump, and
mm-hmm.
If your blood sugar gets too high, that can be a problem. If it gets too low, that can be very, 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 very dangerous. And so she checks her blood on a regular basis, and oftentimes she can, sometimes you can kind of get used to this, and it's not all, that's not good, but she can feel herself getting a little low, and she'll say, I better check my blood, you know, you know, if she's playing tennis, for instance, her blood sugar can go low throughout a match. Maybe if she's exercising, it can go low. It can go low through the night. And then, you know, Reynolds is, I don't know that we've ever counted the thousands of times she's pricked her finger to check her blood. And then for a long time, she gave herself insulin shots, and now she's on this insulin pump. But she's like a lot of kids with type 1. She's a remarkable kid. We're very proud of her. She's not a kid anymore. She's 20 years old, but she's been dealing with this since she was age 6, and it's a nasty disease. Very nasty.
Yeah, it's awful, especially for the young kids that have to deal with this. But luckily, they've come such a long way. I know my girls have a girl friend in school who has that, and she's, you know, the kids just take care of her. And she's got that little insulin pump, and it's just the way she is. It's the way of life, and it's normal. It's a new normal for them. And the kids, it's really sweet to see how the kids take care of her. They really do. Oh, she needs some sugar. We got to get her some sugar, get her a snack or something. It's very sweet.
Kids are, we've been very fortunate. Reynolds' friends were always, mm-hmm. been good around her, and, you know, she carries juice boxes all the time, or what do we call glucose tablets, and she's got those in her purse at all times. And, you know, if your blood sugar goes low, we've had to call 911 a couple times, and now that's mm-hmm. not a pleasant experience, but when you have to get medical attention. But the kids are usually very supportive of their friends with diabetes, and that is nice to see.
Yeah.
Good for your kids.
Yeah. Especially on this month. So it's Diabetes Awareness Month. It's a great time for schools, families to talk about this and to get yourself checked out, right?
You should get yourself checked out. And, you know, we are a society that doesn't move as much as we used to. And as I said early on in our discussion, we're seeing a lot more kids with it in parts of this state and this country. And, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, when we were kids, or I was a kid, we were outside playing a lot more, and we didn't have Xbox and PlayStation and all the TV, and you just sit around and big gulps and all that other stuff. So we're unfortunately seeing a lot more of it. And you talked about early on the problems associated with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, long-term complications, and that you don't want those. And so you were dead on to say, go get tested, and if you're trending in the wrong way or you're there, you know, there's things you can do to make it better with type 2, and you ought to do it. There's no excuse knowing that you can go get tested.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Tom, for all you're doing to raise awareness about diabetes. Diabetes Awareness Day today. Talk about it with your kids, your students, and get tested. Tom is also running for Illinois State Treasurer. How's the campaign going, Tom?
It is going great. We want to tackle diabetes, we want to tackle the problems of the state, and we're trying to push for a balanced budget and fixing our high unemployment and our high taxes. So we're working hard, and I think we're on the right track because the state hasn't had a lot of success in these areas.
We still haven't had pension resolution.
Nope. And very difficult discussion. I have a mom who's a retired teacher and a wife who's a teacher and a daughter that wants to. So, but we got to find something so we have some stability for retirees, but also some stability for taxpayers. And we need to do that sooner than later because we are. It's costing us $5 million a day in interest, and that is, in my opinion, almost a crime to not get this resolved. We've got to fix it.
How are we going to fix this, Tom? Do you have any ideas, any new ideas?
Oh, my gosh. You and I were having a conversation with a mutual friend, Darlene Sanger, and a few weeks ago, and she and I have been working on pension reform for I filed a bill 3 years ago, and Darlene's been with me on it almost as long. So,
she's been on the governor's pension committee for 3 years now. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we put her on in May, but she was on before that working on it. She has been, Darlene Sanger is a trooper, and she's bright, and she's articulate, and she's gifted, and she's working really hard. But, you know, you got to look at the cost of living adjustments we give. You got to figure out the amounts. You got to figure out the frequency. You got to figure out how they're adjusted. You got to look at age. You got to look at contributions, and all of those things need to be discussed because. And one of the reasons that we're in this mess is because the state didn't make pension payments, and that was wrong. And so we're trying to correct that. So all of the above things I talked about, coupled with the state having the responsibility to make their payments on a timely manner, and somewhere in there is where we're going to find the happy medium, I hope.
Mm-hmm. But when do you think this is going? When do you think we're going to have some pension resolution? When do you think this is going to happen?
Should have done it, in my opinion, a couple of years ago. But because we have $100 billion unfunded liability, and what that means is it's less money for education, it's less money for our seniors, it's less money for law enforcement. So if it was me, if I was king for a day, I'd put every legislator in Springfield in a room, and the state capitol, and I'd take the key and I'd lock it, and I'd lock the door, and I'd say, you guys fix it, and when you're done, call me. And then if I was the king, I would, once you did it, I'd say, all right, we're done, and you can go home now. It needs to happen today, and there's no excuse anymore not to get it done, and unfortunately it hasn't, but it needs to happen immediately.
Oh, a lot of people agree with you, Tom, on that one, that's for sure. Tom Cross, state rep, over 20 years. Thank you for your service, Tom, and for all you're doing for diabetes research, and good luck to you with the campaign for Illinois State Treasurer.
Well, thanks.
Thanks again for calling.
Yeah, my pleasure, and if you have any questions on any of this stuff, don't hesitate to call, and have a great show.
Thanks, Tom, so much, and you can check out his website, www.jointomcross.com. There's also information about Diabetes Awareness Day today on there as well. Tom Cross, thanks again, Tom.
Thanks. Have a great day. Talk to you soon,
I hope. Okay,
bye-bye.
Yes. All right, we are moving on. Tom Cross, State Representative Tom Cross, great talking to him. And now we're moving on. We have Rogero Leonis on the line. He's the event marketing manager at St. Jude's. And St. Jude's is having a big walk. We wanted to include them on the show this week because they're having a huge walk coming up. Rogero, are you there?
Yes, it's Rodrigo. I'm here.
Oh, Rodrigo, I'm reading some scribbles here. I do apologize. Rodrigo,
no worries, Dolly.
Thanks for calling into the Dolly McCarthy Show, and thanks for all you're doing at St. Jude's, one of my favorite charities. Why don't we just start from the beginning? For our listeners all over the world that are listening and not sure what St. Jude's is all about, why don't you fill us in there?
Okay. Well, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is a place where children go to receive treatment for very serious diseases. So it's in the name. It's a children's hospital, so most of our patients are under 18 years of age. But it is more than just the babies and the infants and the toddlers. It's also those preteens and those teens that, you know, while they're growing and their bodies are developing, sometimes do also encounter a situation like cancer or a tumor or any one of the other 20 to 25 diseases we study at any one point. And I think that's what makes St. Jude a little bit different from your typical hospital, is that it's a research institution at the same time. So the children receive treatment, but we also have the scientists and the laboratories all under the same roof, essentially, different buildings, but all on one campus. So they can treat the child, but also study the disease and develop better ways to treat and diagnose those diseases.
Mm-hmm. Now, St. Jude was started in 1962 by the famous actor, late entertainer Danny Thomas. And we all see the commercials
Correct.
With Marlo Thomas. It's really amazing how far you've come. I know that I remember hearing that no family who ever goes there ever has to pay for any treatment.
That is correct.
Is that still the case?
That is still the case. We're able to operate that way because of the donations of the public. The majority of our donations, 75%, are from the general public.
That's fantastic. And there's a statistic here which is just amazing. I'm going to read this. In 1962, the survival rate was only 4% for acute leukemia, and today the survival rate is 94% due to the research and treatment protocols developed at St. Jude.
Yeah, it's a very important fact that you just read there, because that specific type of leukemia, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, it's shortened down to ALL, it is the most common form of childhood cancer. And one of the beautiful things about a place like St. Jude is that we are a non-for-profit. Everything that we learn there is shared with the scientific community, with any medical institution who desires the information. It's on a database that's open, and many researchers and scientists and doctors from around the world can actually access that information and utilize it to treat patients in their local hospitals the same way that we would at St. Jude. So it's said that one child cured at St. Jude means thousands of lives saved worldwide. And it really is a hospital that makes a worldwide impact through its discoveries.
Absolutely. Are there a number of St. Jude hospitals around the country, or is there just still the one primary one?
There is only one St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It's in Memphis, Tennessee, and there is that confusion or misconception about its location. I've heard everything from, L.A. to New York to Chicago, you name it, everywhere in between. St. Jude has 7 affiliate clinics,
It's confusing. Mm-hmm.
That's where it could definitely get confusing. Those affiliate clinics, their relationships that we've developed with other hospitals to try and expand the network of places that operate and treat their children the same way that we do. But when people donate, they're donating to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's good. Thanks for clarifying that.
Absolutely.
Well,
yeah, that's very confusing.
Well, now, people in the Chicago area or people coming to visit the Chicago area can now help St. Jude by participating in a walk. You have a walk coming up November 23rd?
Correct. So that's kind of where we come in. The work that I do is more local and more regionally based in the Midwest. So our office is in Chicago, and that's, again, where some of the confusion might come from. But our office is really a place where we organize and plan with volunteers, companies, and different partners to produce events where people can participate in the St. Jude experience and help us fundraise. So it's, at the same time that it's awareness, it's fundraising, and you can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular event that you mentioned is coming up on Saturday, November 23rd. It's a little bit early in the morning. It starts at 8 in the morning. But it's going to be a beautiful day, hopefully, there on the lakefront, and we'll be walking 5 kilometers inside of Soldier Field. It is an event that has a lot of momentum right now. We're lucky to partner with people like you, the Dolly McCarthy Show, different media around town that are giving us a little bit of opportunity to get exposure. And I can probably say that we're already over 1,000 participants, and
wow.
We're shooting for maybe getting upwards of 1,200 or 1,300, the more the merrier. Soldier Field is plenty of space. Like I mentioned, the walk is at Soldier Field, but it is going to take place in the concourse level. So, a lot of people might think parking lots, they might think lakefront, northerly island. That is not the case. We'll be walking inside of Soldier Field. That helps in, I think, a variety of aspects, but especially in the weather. We'll have the walk rain or shine. And you don't have to worry about precipitation. If it rains or if it snows, we'll be covered. We'll be completely under a roof the entire time. Temperature is a little bit different because of the open-air nature of the stadium. Definitely
right.
Bundle up, bring some layers, and we'll have a gear check. If you need to leave a jacket behind, you can just leave that behind and with some volunteers and some staff, and it'll be safe. But you can always remove layers of clothing. We just don't want people to show up and then be a little bit
chill. How many laps around the stadium are we talking here?
We're talking about 10 laps, and this is
okay.
a family-friendly event, so children and strollers and grandma and grandpa, everyone is welcome. There is no registration fee. I think that's something that also differentiates our event from some of the other ones. So it's a fundraising event, and we're able to have success without having to charge a fee to participate. And I think that's something that's really nice because it brings the community together, and it really illustrates that every dollar makes a difference. And if you can donate $1, that's fine. If you have the means to donate more, we welcome it, and together we'll have a lot of success.
Okay, Rodrigo, where do they register to participate in
okay.
the walk?
Very good question. It's very easy. The website is givethankswalk.org. So three words, givethankswalk.org. And there's a particular reason for the name. It stems from a campaign that we launched during the holiday season that centers around thanks and giving. And, you know, thanking, giving thanks for the healthy children in our lives and giving to those who are not so fortunate. That's a campaign that Marlo Thomas started, the daughter of the founder of the hospital. And you'll be seeing some of those commercials air during the holiday season. So this is the kickoff to that campaign.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, I'm so glad we had a chance to get you on the show today. My father,
thank
my mother, my aunts and uncles, St. Jude is near and dear to their heart. And I just, I think what you guys are doing there is just incredible and how far and what a difference St. Jude has made in the battle of childhood cancer.
Absolutely.
And other deadly diseases. So it's amazing.
Thank you very much,
Sally. Thank you, St. Jude. And thank you, Rodrigo. I'm sorry I got your name messed up
no
in the beginning
worries.
There.
Arteries are scribbled sometimes. But I do, if I could just say a few more words. I want to encourage people to come out and participate with us. Like I said, it's open to the public. You can register the day of if you don't have the means to register in advance via the website, or if you just haven't made up your mind about coming out yet. But you will meet some local patient families there from the Chicagoland area, and it'll be a family environment. So I hope people can make it, and thank you very much for having us on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. I can't thank you enough for being on the show and doing all that you're doing. It's a nice walk around Soldier Field. If you've never been in Soldier Field, there's a good excuse to get in there. If you've never been to a Bears game, this is pretty darn close, right? Ha, ha, ha.
You got
that,
it,
right?
Yes.
But right across from Soldier Field, I have to point out, is the Gold Star Family Memorial. So you might want to take a look at that, too, while you're there. So after you do the walk, just walk across the lawn to the east of the stadium of Soldier Field, and just before the lakefront is the Gold Star Family Memorial. And I had to mention that because this, after all, is Monday was Veterans Day, and we're kind of saluting our veterans all week, and just want to point that out. So thank you again for being on the show, Rodrigo, and thanks for all you're doing it over at St. Jude's.
Thank you, Dolly. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, now it's time to move on to our Good Inspirations segment with our friend Michelle Lynn Gust. Hi, Michelle, are you there?
Hi, Dolly, I am here.
Oh,
can
fantastic.
You hear me?
Fantastic. I hear the waves in Hawaii crashing against the rocks. No,
well,
I don't
I
hear
wish
them.
I
where
could
are those
tell
waves?
You I wish I could tell you I was outside, but I had a meeting, so we were originally going to make this phone call from the beach, but it didn't work out that way. So
oh,
I'm in a building on Fort Shafter.
Well, Michelle Lynn Gust, she's a author and a public speaker, and as you all know, a weekly contributor to our Good Inspiration segment. And she just so happens to be in Hawaii this week, and she's surfing.
She was surfing this week,
and, you know, that's kind of what our segment this week is about. You're never too old to learn something new, and you taught yourself how to surf at 39 years old.
I did. I didn't.
Was I supposed
I
to
won't
say your
say
age?
I taught myself. Yeah, it's okay to say my age. It was 2 years ago, and I was up in Vermont visiting a friend I went to high school with, actually, Naperville North, and we were going to visit her sister in New Hampshire, where they live on the beach. There is a beach in New Hampshire. A lot of people don't realize that, and she said, why don't you take surfing lessons? And it was kind of a joke at first, and I was like, that's crazy, but what I remembered was that I always wanted to learn to surf, but you don't, girls, first of all, girls didn't surf anyway in the 80s, and second of all, we didn't surf in, obviously, in Illinois, and so I did. I took a surfing lesson. I got up about the second time, and I said, hey, I can do this. And then I was out in Hawaii 2 years ago this time and had an opportunity for a world champion to take me out. Had another opportunity in Australia, an Australian champion took me out, and I actually have a board in Los Angeles, and the friends keep it in their garage for me, and I go out there periodically. But I have to tell you that surfing has taught me so much. Like you said, you're never too old, and I think that I'm probably more patient now. I'm not as afraid of failing as I might have been 20 years ago. I've actually taken up golf and tennis since then, too, and I was not a girl who, I'm a runner. I don't do all sorts of things because running is about the only thing I could ever do. And what's really been interesting is how much I've learned about life from surfing, and that's what Conversations with the Water, my last book, was a lot about. But I've even learned even more since then. And when you're going out there and you have to get past the breaks, you know, where the waters come crashing in to be able to ride the wave, and, you know, life is hard and sometimes, and getting past, it's like life. And I've been standing on the beach, and it's the waves, particularly in Los Angeles, the Pacific just crash so hard, they crash fast. And I'd be like, I can't do this. I'm like, wait a minute, I can do this. But it's like I said, it's no different than life. But the other thing that, since I've been here, I went out twice, went out in the North Shore yesterday, and I was out in Waikiki on Monday, is I realized something about patience. I call it the patience game. And the waves are very different here, and they take longer. It's a longer ride. That's why you ride a longboard. And I was out there on Monday, and I was like, wow, you know, this is a different, I had to get used to it. When I went out yesterday, and I went out with a filmmaker, I was interviewed for a film on teen suicide here in Hawaii, because she was Native Hawaiians. And I realized that I could be more patient on the board, because when you're out there in the Pacific, where I surf and off the coast of in Southern California, you've got to get up on the board so fast. Yesterday, I was like, wait a minute, I can take my time. And I think it's because it's such a long ride. And it was like having to take a step back. And sometimes we have to do that in life, because we realize, wait, I don't have to rush. I can take a step back, and I get a long ride out of it. And because you know, otherwise, if I hurry, I just fall off the board. So that's been a really interesting thing for me to realize since I've been here.
And isn't it true? I love this message this week, because, like you said, like we mentioned earlier, you're never too old to learn something. It's never too late to teach an old dog new tricks. Who's saying we're old dogs here?
That's what I was going to say.
But I love the fact that, you know what? Like you said, you were always a runner. Sometimes we get stuck in this, you know, we have these things that define us, and then we think that's it, that's me. But no, I mean, like you, I took up ballroom dancing 2 years ago, and I was a jazz dancer in high school, you know, jazz class and jazz hands. And 2 years ago, someone challenged me to be in this Naperville's Dancing with the Celebrities, and I said no for months. And then finally, I said, why not? I don't have to be perfect, but I could have fun doing it. So why not do it? I can get in shape and I can have fun. And who knew that I couldn't believe it when I won. But you know, it was pretty. It's cool to do things, and you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to.
No,
just have
you
patience
don't.
And try it. And try it.
And I'm always serving people. I'm like, I'm not very good at it, but I have a great time out there. Being out in the water nourishes my soul. Listening to the water slap against the board, it's no different than a boat. When the water slaps against the boat, it's just incredible. You're right there. The only thing separating you from the water is the board, as you're waiting.
I still would. I'd be a little scared, though. I'm a little nervous about surfing. But I think if I was in Hawaii and someone said, let's surf, I think I would just do it. How could you not try it?
It's not as scary. I think that particularly here in Hawaii, I mean, it depends on where you go. I was on some places. There was really no waves in Waikiki. And where the filmmaker took me yesterday on the North Shore, was, you know, he told me it's a very gentle place. And it really was. The hardest part is there's a lot of, like, lava rock underneath. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful where you land, basically, if you fall off the board. But it's, like I said, the ride off the Pacific is a harder ride, because the waves have like I said, they crash, they're quicker. And so it's, but there are days where it's not, too. It just depends on when you go out. I mean, just, it's, and I always try to go out with somebody or make sure that there are people around me sort of aware of me, because I'm not often with anybody. It was strange to surf with someone yesterday, but it was good. It was good because I learned so much.
Yeah, now learning and trying, what does that do for you overall? Other than,
it's
made
a huge difference.
What is it done?
It's made a huge difference. It's made a huge difference. And then I took up golf right after that, and actually I've taken up tennis. And the interesting thing about that is that my boyfriend is a girls' soccer coach, but he also has coached tennis in the past. And one thing happened last weekend. We were out, and he wanted to throw the ball and have me catch it, you know, in the can. And I looked at him like, I can't do that. I just, you know, and he's, you know, of course I tried it. It didn't happen. And I told him, I said, I'm going to have to relearn. He said, no, you just never learned how to do anything with a ball, which is true. And so, I mean, so it's being patient with yourself. But when you're out there and you're learning something new, I mean, there's something about stretching yourself, and it gives you more confidence. And you know what's there. I mean, why would I want to sit around my house when I can go and do all these fun things? Or I'm here on a trip, I'm here to speak, and we're doing stuff with the Army. And we have an opportunity to go surfing and take advantage of that and go do mm-hmm. something that I wouldn't get to do at home.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is fulfilling and satisfying, and yeah, it makes you happy.
It does. It does. To be out there in the water and the sun. It's great.
Well, our good inspiration segment has come and gone. Michelle, we thank you so much for contributing this week. We love the message here. Go out and try something new. And check out Michelle's website and let her know what new things you tried. Right? Michelle, what's your web address?
It's,
and you also have Facebook and Twitter.
Yep, I have Facebook and Twitter. Just Google me. I come up everywhere. But it's www.inspirebymichelle.com. And I'll be posting a blog. I know I'm 4 hours behind all of you, but I'll be posting a blog in the next few hours about what we just talked about, this whole patience thing. So I'll throw that question out there.
We'll be looking for that. Well, enjoy Hawaii. I'm so jealous.
Thank you.
I want to see more pictures posted. I'm going to live.
I know. I didn't have time this morning. I had a very early. Spoke to 1,000 soldiers this morning on suicide. So I'll be posting some photos tonight.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for everything. Thanks for your good inspiration segment, my friend. And with that, now it's time to end the show on a good note. I always tell you, stay positive and be good, everybody. Be good to each other. Thanks again to all my good guests this week, to State Rep Tom Cross, to my pal Sergeant Jack Schiffler, Rodrigo Leonis from St. Jude's, and, of course, Michelle Lynn Gust, who we just heard from. Thanks to all my good guests this week. And everybody, thanks for tuning in. Hey, by the way, if you haven't already done so, please like The Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow the show on Twitter. I really appreciate that. And for all of you that posted comments on my Facebook and tweeted, we will put your names in a hat, or maybe we'll put it in one of the Dolly McCarthy mugs. We'll pull the name out, and you will be the winner of the Body Bronze Sunless Tanning Spray Tan of Naperville, a spray tan, free spray tan, and a Dolly McCarthy Show mug. So thanks for posting on Facebook and our Twitter. I'm Dolly McCarthy. I hope you'll come back and listen in next week for another hour of the Dolly McCarthy Show with lots of good news, good guests, and a good laugh. So long, everybody. Take it away, my friend Dan Ponce.
Thanks for listening to the Dolly McCarthy Show.